Hello there. Welcome back, everyone, to part two of our Hunt for the Red October series.
Part two.
Part two.
Part two.
We are trying to discuss the job market and all the painstaking time and effort it comes along with it these days.
Yeah. It's insane, man.
So let's give a recap. We talked about, you know, it's just not easy as applying for a job anymore. And we talked about how you have to have resumes built for the algorithms. And then it's all about networking and who you know, getting recommendations. Using Career Builder sucks because it's all pyramid scheme jobs and all that. Indeed and LinkedIn's where it's at, but there's some challenges there as well. And so that's where we left off. And now we're going to continue on. Did I leave anything out? Did I miss anything?
No, you're good, man. I'm gonna let you keep going.
I know, I'm fired up about this.
Because this is just situation. It's a frustrating situation.
It is, because you can't really look for a job nowadays while having a job unless you let your performance suffer.
Right.
Because looking for a job now is a full time job.
Yes, it is. 8 hours a day.
So we've talked about the algorithm stuff. We talked about resumes. Now let's talk about some things that I've seen happen with interviews.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
So you get people interviewing you. And, you know, you get some good recruiters. You get some bad recruiters. You get some good hiring people in the company and some bad hiring people in the company. And what I'm finding is sometimes people have their act together and sometimes they don't. They get emails and like, hey, there's no Zoom link. And the recruiter's like, hey, did you see a Zoom link on there? I'm like, yeah, I read through the email. I see the Zoom link. I see where I'm supposed to go. All time and information, all that's there. But the hiring manager that's doing the interview can't find the Zoom link, can't get the time zones right.
Yeah.
And then when you go through the interview, you almost feel like you're more qualified for their job than they are.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be braggadocious. I'm not trying to say I'm better than everybody, because I'm not. And there's things I need to learn. And I've got some great skills, but I have weaknesses and things I need to work on as well.
Yep.
But when you experience that, that doesn't give you confidence for that company and for that job.
That's true.
The other thing I've seen happen is kind of a bait and switch thing too, where recruiters are like, the job posting says remote. And so you apply to it. And they're like, hey, are you willing to relocate to Minnesota or New Jersey?
Yes. I dealt with that too. Yep.
And I'm like, no, it said remote. That's why I applied.
Right.
Like, if it's not going to be remote, then why did you put it as remote? Oh, because you can't find somebody with the skills you need to fill that job. So you're going to say that it's remote and then try to change them, try to get them to move.
Yeah. And who the fuck's going to relocate to Minnesota?
Yeah. Right. Especially when you're in California.
Exactly.
Right. Or if you're in Florida, even in the Blue Ridge Mountains, would you rather live in the Blue Ridge Mountains or would you rather live in Minnesota?
Yeah. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm good.
It's too cold up there. Nobody wants to live up there. That's why you can't find good people. I'm not saying that. There are good people in Minnesota, and we appreciate you. We love you guys. But, I mean, let's be realistic. If people are living in a sunny coastal environment or in a less colder environment, they're usually there for a reason. Otherwise, they would live there in the first place.
That's true. Why do you think we moved south? Because it was too damn cold in old Michigan.
So that's been a challenge. The other challenge that I'm running into is the unicorn factor. Did you ever experience the unicorn factor?
In a job search? No.
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say, let me put it out there, because our viewers probably don't know.
Like a diamond in the rough, right? I mean, you're searching for the perfect gig. Like, you want, that's your unicorn.
Well, not for me finding the perfect gig, but the employer looking for the perfect candidate.
Okay.
So let me set up this scenario for you. Recruiter calls me. We have a great discussion. Moves me on to the second round. Go through a second round of interviews. Great. The VP is like, yes, I want you. All of a sudden, emergency meeting with the chief officer. And chief officer's like, well, we want to shift gears and look for something else. So then I have a candid conversation with the recruiter. And they're like, look, we've had this job open for 3 months. You are the closest candidate to meeting all the requirements we're looking for. You're the only one we've seen in 3 months. Like, great. That's amazing for me.
Yeah.
But they're looking for someone with this extra experience. Now, yes, companies should do their due diligence. Yes, they should look for the right candidate. However, the experience they're looking for, there are some jobs you're not going to find people with all three levels of experience you're looking for.
Right.
You're just not.
Right.
Because of the industry, because of, it won't exist. Like, for instance, would somebody have experience in trucking that has SaaS and IT experience, that has leadership and managerial experience? Chances are probably not. You'll probably have one or two of those, but not all three.
Right.
You know, you either have manager and trucking, or you have leadership and SaaS and IT, but those are so drastic. Are you really going to have all three?
Right. No.
Most, I mean, you're looking for a unicorn. You're looking for Sasquatch out there, and it doesn't exist. It's not there.
Yeah.
But then you got these managers that are looking for that. And the reality is they've lost somebody with some knowledge, and they're trying to replace the perfect candidate that they're never going to be able to find.
Yeah.
And so what they end up doing is they waste the time of the individual that's going through the interview process, because if they known that ahead of time, then move on. But to change it mid-year, and even then, if you do find that candidate, chances are they're going to have better offers than what you're offering.
Yeah. Yeah. Or already have three offers on the table.
Right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's an interesting thing. I don't know.
So between having a network, changing your resume all the time, doing a cover letter every time, doing all this networking, like my morning is I get up, check my emails, check my LinkedIn messages, schedule interviews, send responses, all that stuff, go through interviews because I try to schedule them earlier in the day, end of the day, going through, applying to new jobs. It's not like you can shotgun shell out a resume.
Right.
It's brutal, man. It's exhausting. I am so tired at the end of the day from just all the effort. And to get very little feedback coming in. Like, I applied to 100 jobs in a 3 to 4 week period.
Yep.
And out of those 100 jobs, 30 of them, auto responses, thanks, but we're moving on.
Yep. Yep.
50 of them, absolutely nothing. Then you get like, I don't know, like 10 to 20 that are like scheduling interviews, but then how that goes and falls apart. And then the no-shows. I've had some interviews where people don't show up.
Yeah.
No response. No, hey, we've changed our search. Nothing. Ghosted.
Yeah. Yep. Because they don't care. Chances are good they found somebody already. They don't care.
Which, if so, you should have the courtesy to say, hey, we're canceling your interview. We found a candidate. Or, hey, sorry. But just to be ghosted?
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, that's a sign.
Yep, right? It is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sign if you don't want to fucking be there anyway.
It is.
Like, you don't. I was ghosted on one in my 3 weeks of searching for a job. I was ghosted on one. And then every other interviewer showed up. But it just... I don't know, man. Some people, you know when it's the right fit. And I knew when this one was the right fit, you know, because you can just by having a simple conversation with somebody over the phone, interviewer, whether it be from the company or a recruiter, or whatever, you can tell. Like if I had several interviews with recruiters, and I'll tell you that I only called one back after that initial interview because they were so bad. So bad. They asked me 4 questions and then, all right, we'll be in touch. And they called me back. They called me back, but I was like, you know what, dude, you gotta, let's, you know, personalize this shit a little bit. You know what I mean? That's the industry that I was in. Like you gotta make it personal, man. You gotta build a relationship. That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
Gotta make sure they're fit for the culture you have going on.
Yeah.
But they're trying to go through them so fast. And those 4 questions they're asking doesn't give them the information to know if you're a good fit.
Do you want to go remote? Do you want to work remote? Question 1. Oh, your resume says you did this. Did you do it? Yep. Oh, your resume said this. Did you do it? Yep. Oh, your resume said this. Did you do it? Yep. And that was it. That was it, man. That was it. It was that quick. It was that quick. You know?
What I'm getting is explaining gaps in employment. I got impacted. I'm sure you can look it up. Better. This company I worked for has had several layoffs.
Don't put the gaps of employment on there.
Well, I have to because I stopped working there in April. I got impacted in April.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I thought you meant, okay. I'm with you. All right.
So like they're asking like what happened? That's an easy answer. But then I'm getting like, what's your salary requirements? And see, that's a trick question. And I get it. They want to know what you're looking for to make sure you fit within their range. But then I've heard and seen so many horror stories where they come back and offer you the low end of your range.
Yep.
And they don't want to pay you higher, even though you've got maybe mid to high tier experience.
Well, you've got an interesting situation too, right? So if an East Coast company is calling you on the West Coast pay is different than pay on the East Coast. Am I wrong?
Slightly. It depends on your market. But like,
okay,
where I'm at in California would be comparable to, it's not as expensive as like San Francisco or New York. So if you're looking in those markets, you know, but like now if you're talking about Jacksonville, Florida, or like Atlanta, my salary requirements may be a little higher.
Yeah. Interesting.
So yeah, it is an interesting market because depending on where you're at, depends on that rate of pay.
Yeah. Well, and my whole point to that was that like cost of living in California is higher, at least higher than it is here in North Carolina. You know, it's higher than it is in Jacksonville. You know what I mean?
Actually,
it isn't.
Jacksonville has now become the highest cost of living city in the state of Florida.
Get out of here.
Higher than Miami. Yep. Read an article about it the other day. Matter of fact, we looked at rent prices. They're higher than what we pay here in Orange County, California.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, for that trash hole that we left in Jacksonville,
yeah,
we'd be paying more for it than we would out here.
No kidding. Yep. Huh.
All the people that left all these other cities and stuff and went to Florida, a lot of them moved to Jacksonville because it was really cheap to live in Jacksonville and it was open.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So that's fluctuating the markets now too.
Right. Yeah. There's so many factors. There's so many factors that go into, and it's not just us, the human factor, right? I mean, it's the state you're in. I don't know where you live. There's so many different factors, man. I don't know.
It's just
a pain in the ass.
Do you want to go into an office? Do you want to work hybrid? Do you want to work remote? All these different things. And then there's so many factors, that go into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Too many. Either my resume matches or it doesn't. You talk to me, I fit or I don't.
Yep.
That's it, man. That's it. That's it. That's the way it should be, but that ain't the way it is anymore.
Well, and they're saying that it still takes 4 to 6 months to find a job, even in this market, because you have to go through so much and go through all the red tape that it takes you that long to find a job. Because, you know, granted, in the positions I'm looking at, typically you go through more than just one or two interviews. But instead of like three interviews or four interviews, I'm going through like 5 and 6 rounds and projects and things.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy. Like, used to, you'd meet with the teams you'd be working with or the teams you'd be managing. You would do like a, well, you'd start with like a recruiter screening. Then you'd go to like, you know,
yep,
meeting with team members. Then you go meet with a VP, and then you go meet with like a CEO or a chief officer as like a formality piece. Now it's like you do the recruiter. Then you meet with the VP or a director or somebody. Then you meet with the team. Then you meet with either peers or other people in a department and do like a round robin style with a project. Then you meet with another like chief officer, and then you do like a CEO as a formality at the end. It's like, okay, so 6 interviews. You do the math, unless you're getting 2 of those interviews in the same week, which scheduling wise doesn't happen anymore. It's like 6 weeks right there.
Yeah. No, I went through 4 just for this position I got now. I went through 4
That's
interviews.
Crazy.
Yeah. Went through the internal recruiter, went to the manager, went to the director, and then went to the VP.
Sheesh.
Yeah. All for what I do. And what I do is not what you do.
Well, and then I would say it's very similar to what you did when we worked together.
Yeah. It is.
And then in that environment, you interviewed with me. I passed you along to my boss.
Yep.
She did the interview, and then we gave you an offer, and that was it.
Right. Yeah.
Now it's like 3 to 4 interviews minimum.
Yeah. Which, and I'll tell you, like, I don't necessarily mind that. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, you know, because you really get a sense for who your manager is, who your director is, who the VP is. Like, you get a real good sense of who you're going to be working for and their direct reportees, should I say? Is that even the right way to put it? I don't even know. But, you know, so like for me, that worked out well because I got to know all of them. And we all had very similar views. Everybody was super talkative. Very upfront. Which is what I like. And I think that's one thing too, that we don't see much anymore, is nobody's really fucking honest about anything within the company. The company I'm with now is very honest. They're very transparent from the top down, which I like. You know, I mean, my boss, if I fuck up, she's going to tell me.
Well, I think you hit something else there. There's a lot of companies that are putting on this facade of transparency.
Yeah.
And as you go through the interview process, some are really good at hiring or hiding it. Yeah. And so you get hired. And I've got a few former coworkers that took jobs with companies that I thought were really good experiences and were going to be really good companies. They get through training and then they're like, holy cow, this is not what I was told I would be doing. This is not the job I signed up for. There is no transparency. It's a crap show over here. Like, everything's, and it's bad,
yeah,
but they were deceived because that company's so desperate. They're doing whatever they can to get somebody in the job.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, I'm looking for a new job. I'm out.
Right.
But then you do find some that are fully transparent and honest. And you know, those are the companies I want to work for. I want to work for a company that's transparent and honest with me because that's how I treat my teams. That's the type of leader I am. And that lets me know where I stand and what I have to do to be successful.
Yeah. And you need to enjoy it.
Yeah. You need to have a work hard, play hard, or a, you know, challenge, but fun environment. You got to have a balance.
Yep. Yep. And I think with a majority of this company that I'm with now being remote, they do a very good job of reaching out, keeping everyone in the loop, but also when there's like, when fun things happen where the head office is, they may send a gift card out to us that are remote that can't join.
Oh, that's nice.
Say, hey, go have your, you know, go have your own fun. You know, maybe $25 to Amazon or whatever. Who cares? But it's they really truly like legit give a shit about, you know, the company culture. And I think that's what really drew me to where I'm at now. I mean, I get it. That's not everything, but money's not everything either. Like, you have to enjoy what you do. And a lot of people don't, man. A lot of people suffer day to day to day to day, and they don't enjoy it. I'm not going to say I haven't had hard days here. I have, for sure. Today sucked, but it wasn't the company's fault. We have to deal with people. You know, every time you have to deal with people, there's going to be some kind of shit show at some point.
They're variables, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So I think that's super important too. You know, I mean, don't just take the first one you see. There's plenty out there. And, you know, look for that right fit, look for that right culture. Cause I think that's number one, hands down, probably in my opinion, the most important. You got to be able to fit in. You want them to fit with you. The pay will come, but just enjoy what you do, man. Otherwise life is fucking shit.
I think that's where I've come kind of full circle with. Before, it was always about getting that next position, getting that promotion, yeah, getting higher pay. And when you're younger and you're trying to establish your family, that's what it's all about.
Sure.
When you start turning that corner, it becomes more about, what do I want to do? And what type of environment do I want to do it in? Because what you want to do, that tells you what you want to be happy in. That's what you love doing, right? And then the environment is the culture and things that you want to work
for. Yep.
And kind of going through so many toxic cultures and toxic companies.
So,
you know, I've seen great companies. I've worked for, you know, really good companies with really good culture. And I've worked for really bad companies with really bad cultures. And then I've worked for companies that had good cultures and were doing the right thing that shifted and pivoted into something that was just so toxic that it ruined good employees.
Yeah.
And so as much as I want to be picky, though, it's kind of hard because it's like you want to go for those jobs that give you everything you're looking for and that you're the right fit for. But after you go through this over and over again, I see now why people will jump and just take what they get,
yeah,
because they're afraid that right job's not going to come around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 100% right. It's 100% right. And some people don't have the luxury. Like, I didn't have the luxury to wait around. You know, I got lucky with where I'm at. I got lucky, man. I got lucky with where I'm at now. Yep. Because it turns out that it's where I want to be. You know, like, it popped up at the right time. I mean, how many conversations did I have with you over the phone? You know, how many conversations did I have with Lisa? Like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's been 3 weeks now. No paycheck. You know, got to pay rent, got to put food on the table, got to get the cars paid, got to get the bills done. You know, like, how, you know, so some people don't have that luxury, and I totally get it, because I am 100% one of those people. Like, we did not have the luxury to wait around. Again, I got lucky with where I'm at. So it's definitely there, and you may get lucky, but you got to keep your head down. You got to keep plugging away, man. I mean, it'll come. It just, you know, it takes time.
It does. And this time around, I was fortunate enough to get a decent severance and things that gives me time to look.
Right.
But there's also a window that it's ticking down. Every week that goes by means I have less money to work with.
Yep.
And eventually when it runs out, and, you know, savings and stuff, you know, we're prepared for things like this, but eventually when that money runs out, you got to do something.
Yeah.
And I think the work industry, what's going on with remote work, there's companies that could go remote and they don't want to. They don't believe in it. To be honest, there's some companies that are acting very archaic then you got like the lack of talent and leadership because of so many people that decided to be stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads.
Well, when you say archaic, though, I mean, nobody really started going remote until COVID hit. So like I know several people that would rather be in an office, you know, than be working from home. I enjoyed the office atmosphere, at least when we were working at that place, just because of the people around you, right? You don't really get to experience the office culture when you're in your fucking house. So I get that. But I don't know that I don't know that I would call it archaic. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of people going back to the office. You know, some people don't want to go, and that's fine. You know,
I think when I say archaic, I'm referring to companies that are forcing their employees to go into the office at mass rates when they have the option and the ability. There's no legal compliance or anything that would make them go into the office. Right. They have the ability to have remote, hybrid, or in-office work to where they could offer options.
Yep.
But instead, they're like, no, for you to be productive, you have to be in the office. Well, society proved over 2 years that that's not necessarily the case. And remote work has been around for many, many years now.
Right.
It just wasn't as popular until the pandemic hit. Now people are like, you know, some people want to work from home. There's other people that like, no, I need an office. I need to be around people. So
yeah,
I think when I say archaic, I mean the people that are unwilling to be flexible and offer options, which are what people want in a work environment now. Oh, they want culture. They want options.
Yep.
You know, and you can find better talent if you offer hybrid, remote, or in-office jobs, depending on what the scenario is.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm referring to is if you're forcing all your people back in the office and you don't have a clear reason like compliance, regulation issues that need them to be there, right, and it's just because you don't believe they're not going to be as productive. Well, I think that's a misconception. Either you're hiring the wrong people or you're out of touch with your workforce.
Right.
Because outside of having to be in an office for legal compliance, those reasons, why not? I mean, you can find better candidates out there if you're willing to provide those things.
That's true. That is true. Well, listen, man, on that note, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap. I know we both got kids things to do because we're fucking parents, and that's what happens. So
if any of our listeners are going through the job hunt, if you've been recently impacted, I would say reach out to your community. Talk to your fellow peers. Talk to your connections. You're not alone. And it is brutal. Don't beat yourself up. Don't let your mental health suffer. Don't be anxious. Plug away. Do what you need to do. Know that you always have support if you reach out to your community. And, you know, let us know. Let us know how you feel about these topics and if we're spot on or if you disagree. I'd love to hear some feedback on this one. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'd like to hear some folks that are going through or have gone through some of the similar things that we've talked about.
Job hunting shenanigans.
Exactly. But on that note, you guys check us out on Facebook, Misguided Shenanigans, Instagram, TikTok, which I'm working on slowly.
The website, YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, the new website I did post on Facebook a couple weeks ago, so that is out there. It is in the YouTube channel. I posted it in our description, so you'll be able to see it there. But yeah, guys, give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. We definitely appreciate you listening. And on that note, we'll catch you on the flip.
Peace out.